This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass, and the full support complement, of course. We are going to change subjects now. We're going to talk about this sort of major event that occurred in the media space during the course of the week. Nine and Fairfax merged, and to talk to us about that, we've got Misha Ketchell, who is the editor of The Conversation and also a former journalist for the Fairfax paper. So we'll probably have some personal reflections to share with us as well. Good morning to you, Misha.
Good morning, and I do indeed.
Great to have you back in the studio again.
Thanks.
You're not only a regular, but coming in to do more than just regular routines. It's great.
Now, Misha, I actually got a number of journalists reached out to me and gave me some reflections on this. I think they think you're a millennial sock puppet.
What's a millennial sock puppet?
I'm not quite sure, but I'm not sure it's entirely complimentary. But one of them was the fear-mongering about Nine culture versus Fairfax culture made the point that Fairfax gave the country Dolly and Women's Day. Well, I hardly think that's something to be proud of, but that made the point that modern journalism has only existed for a few decades. For more than a century, media barons used newspapers to bully and exercise power. Some still do. I suppose the question is, do you think, and one view I did get from someone from Fairfax was, this actually does extend the lifetime of the papers. The view has been that actually printing the newspapers probably only had another couple of years in it, if that. That this potentially does extend it longer. Okay, we all like reading the newspapers, but increasingly it's online. What Channel 9 are after is Domain and, you know, the Stan platform. The newspapers, yeah, that's interesting, but that's what they're after. What concerns me, and I'm sure you, Channel 9 is the home of lots of things, but quality journalism isn't one of them.
Well,
60 Minutes, okay, they can say, but, you know, is independent journalism, Channel 9 have said they're going to honour the independent, you know, the independence of journalists, is that under threat?
I think it is. And I think actually just the person that you talked to who raised that question about media proprietors have always, in a way, exerted power and served vested interests or particular interests. I think that's actually true. What happened really with Fairfax, more than anything else, was an accident of history. We had this moment in time when printing presses created these huge revenue streams that created a company that was very powerful and was able to cross-subsidise what we refer to as public interest journalism. Yep. And there was, you know, what you could call quite a bolshy sort of staff culture where there was a strong commitment to independence. There's always been a charter of age independence and editorial independence at Fairfax. What that's meant is that the journalists have been able to practice a type of journalism which is not merely about attracting eyeballs or advertisers or getting a commercial return from an audience, but is actually about at many times serving the public interest. I mean, if you think even in the past few years, some of the most, you know, terrific investigative reporting by Nick McKenzie and Richard Baker, quite a bit of it done in collaboration with the ABC, covering things like China's influence.
And Adele Ferguson.
Yep, Adele Ferguson, who's fantastic. That type of work is not the work you're necessarily going to back in an editorial environment where your priority is Neighbours from Hell, Tuck Shop Arms and Wonder Bras.
And, you know, I can't see a current affair, you know. The only thing they expose there is their stupidity.
Well, I mean, the one thing that they do very successfully is they deliver an audience. So, I mean, they've got the ratings down to an absolute science, and they know very much that the types of programs they've got on high rotation rate very well. So that's what you have in a very commercially driven media outlet. But the flip side is there's a thing called the Edelman Trust Survey. They do an annual survey of trust in the media. Mm. Trust in the media is lower than it's ever been.
Yes.
So what happens is if we get fed media that gives us a certain emotional response, a certain sort of pleasure, that's commercially useful and we will consume that media. But what happens then is even as audiences, we sort of realise that it's not giving us the information we need. And therefore, we don't trust it. And therefore, it becomes more difficult to have important conversations about matters of public interest. And therefore, media outlets like this one, like Joy FM, and you know things like where I work, The Conversation, which works with academics, and the ABC, become increasingly important. Because I think that although Channel 9 has said that it's going to keep the Fairfax titles independent doing what they do, that's true, and what you see will change very slowly. The reason they've bought those newspapers is because they give Channel 9 a bigger advertising platform overall. Yeah. And I can't see the people that are running Channel 9 not wanting to generate greater profits from that platform by pushing a very sort of commercial view of what the media's role is.
I did hear Tom Elliott on 3RW, and he started off his show this week on the day of the announcement making a very strident statement.
A bit like Paul Keating's?
but in a different way. Paul Keating and Tom Elliott are probably not that close politically, but Tom made a very, very strident statement about his independence. And that, yes, from time to time, management of the station or whatever, you know, suggest things, but that, you know, people listen to this station, and he talked about himself and Neil and others, because they like it, you know, they want to hear an independent view or a view that is not influenced necessarily by commercial imperatives. And I thought it was really, I enjoyed what he said. I can't say I'm surprised, but, you know, that he said it, that was the opening gambit of his show. And now he said, the reality is, if they don't want me to be independent, or if they try to influence me to talk about particular things in a particular way, he said, I won't do it. So he said, ultimately, I may not have a job. But while I do work here, I am going to continue to be independent. So it's not the immediate, this is not going to, let's assume that this happens on January 1 next year. It's going to be over the next couple of years that the changes and that the influence will be exerted, isn't it, Misha? It's the salami slicing.
That's right. And also, media proprietors don't often need to exert influence by telling staff what to do. They can do it in a range of ways by who they select, the stories they select, the type of journalism they fund.
The type of journalists that they employ.
That's right. So, Tom Elliott is a very strong independent voice in Victoria and probably has a valuable contribution to make. But I would suggest that the difficulty that you will see over time is the loss of that very independent culture that Fairfax had, where there was a big tension between the Fairfax staff and the management. Malcolm Turnbull notably commented on this many years ago, where he talked about the fact that he felt that proprietors should have a say in the editorial. But Fairfax was a very unique company in that it was a commercial company. It was driven by advertising revenues and had all those relationships. But the staff ran the editorial in a very independent way. And that's quite unique. And I think that's the thing that you will probably see change over time. And, you know, it's impossible to know for certain what will happen, but that seems, given everything that we've seen before, the likely scenario.
Look, I think, Misha, the challenge is, you know, if I'm a journalist and the platform that I produce the content for encourages me to write in a certain direction that I actually might agree with, that's actually going to be less of a challenge. It's when the platform, and let's just use that term generically, wants you to write from a different perspective or not report something. So the reality is, you know, if you are a left of centre journalist, a right of centre journalist, that if you're going to be encouraged to write in a different way, that's when it becomes a challenge. I mean, that's true as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't think really it's a...
It's not as cut and dry as that,
yeah,
I know.
It's not so much a political question as it's a question of the type of journalism as well. I mean, if you think about it, you can really think of it in terms of two types of journalism. There's experience journalism, which actually gives you a sense of pleasure or engages you. You might enjoy the story, but it might not be hugely consequential in an information sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I watch the 29th story about Neighbours from Hell on A Current Affair, I don't learn anything. The world doesn't change. There's not really much at stake. But I might find a certain pleasure. I'll watch the ads in that show. That's how that journalism works. There's another type of journalism which is really driven by some idea about the community and serving the public interest. And that journalism can be hard. It can be expensive. It can be hard to fight for. So if you think about, for example, the Fairfax stories on China, which took a massive amount of time, a massive amount of research, were quite complex. Now, if you apply to those stories the sort of rating system that A Current Affair applies to its stories, those stories would never get made.
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't. They wouldn't.
Because they won't get the type of audience.
And also because advertisers will put pressure on the organiser, as they put on Fairfax, right? And particularly in television, as advertising revenues are tighter and tighter.
And as have we, Macca, let's be honest about it.
Yeah, and,
We've provided comment on various corporates for the relationships that they have.
Yes, and, you know, pressure, well, you know, they give you feedback.
Of course.
But at the end of the day, you know, they'll say, oh, look, you know, the reader can choose or the viewer can choose, but when there are fewer and fewer choices... that actually becomes a pretty weak argument. It means that more than ever, you know, platforms like The Conversation, like this program, like SBS, like the ABC, and, you know, Fairfax as we know it, are so important for a view that is actually... as much as it possibly can, is not political. It is actually about the facts and about public interest, as opposed to, you know, clicks and eyes on pages and eyes on screens. Of course, that's a commercial imperative for Fairfax. But it was put to me that this is actually about the survival of Fairfax journalism. That's the price Channel 9 is prepared to pay to get its hands on Domain and all of Stan.
That's true, and, I mean, you might argue that this has extended the life of Fairfax and of that work. So, I mean, you know, you don't want to be entirely negative or entirely pessimistic, but the risk is the loss of culture. And the reality is a media academic, actually, Dennis Muller, wrote about this really well. He said every death is sudden, feels sudden, and yet what's been happening in Fairfax has been happening for quite a long time, and there are lots of aspects of the reporting because of the loss of staff that have already been lost. So we've got a capacity.
So, Michelle, what do you think will happen? What do you think will be the result of this in the next, you know, couple of weeks?
In the next couple of years, you probably won't see a massive amount change,
right?
But over time, you will see an erosion of that journalistic culture, most likely. Channel 9 have said they're going to leave Fairfax alone in the short term, and we can only take them at their word. But we're going to lose, to some extent, I would imagine, that sense of that public interest journalism. And also, in particular, talking just about Melbourne and Victoria for a minute, if you think about The Age and how significant it's been...
Yes.
In, you know, describing this city to us and giving us a sense of what it's like to be a Melburnian and what makes this city tick, part of that's already been lost, and I think we'll continue to lose that.
Yep.
I must admit, I can't really imagine Adele Ferguson doing an investigative report with A Current Affair. It doesn't... I can't see it.
Well, interestingly, Fairfax has got a tradition in recent times of doing a lot of work
with the ABC.
And one of the big questions is, will that continue? And I actually think, again, given what Channel 9 have said, you might see, certainly in the short to medium term, some of that work continuing. But over time, the commercial imperative to merge the two businesses together, I think, will start to play on that.
So what does this mean for The Conversation? How does The Conversation continue to maintain itself, sustain itself as a source of independent journalism in a market that's hugely competitive and perhaps not everyone values that independence as much as we would like. So what's the strategy for you guys?
Well, we've got a different model because we're not driven by advertising. So we work with universities, donors. We get some philanthropic money and support from foundations, some government money. But basically, we have all those arrangements in such a way that it preserves our editorial independence, as I imagine you do here as well. Mm. So we've got a structure.
And all of your journalists have to actually declare in writing, as part of their article, any interest that they may have in the story that they're writing about.
That's right. And part of the reason we do that is to actually remind readers that who is saying something and where they're coming from is as important as what's being said. And you want to give people information that is reliable information.
Mm. Well, I read The Independent. I read a lot of others. This will amuse you, Tess. a certain right-wing journal I recently subscribed to. See if you can think of the name.
I dare not think.
I'll leave you to think about it. You might think of it, Misha.
Journal or newspaper?
Magazine.
Quadrant?
Yes.
Okay. There you go.
Just to...
get the other side.
Oh, look, you know, I didn't realise it was part of the comedy festival. some of it's actually pretty good.
It is important to actually know what the other side says.
No, but it gives you another perspective. And yeah. I do that and I'll pay for that because it has a place. It has a place in the market. Mm. And, I think it's important. How can people support the conversation?
Well, they can always go to our website and make a donation. That's the key thing. We really encourage people to do that because it is the best way of preserving journalism that is based on trying to provide quality information rather than sort of other agendas. That's really the key thing. And the key difficulty is that, you know, need to... serve commercial interests, which can sometimes compromise what you're doing and how you go about doing it.
Misha, thank you very much for your time this morning.
It's always
great to have your perspective on things.
Thanks.
And no doubt we'll have you back in the studio for another session pretty soon.
Yeah, fantastic. Great.
Thank you,
Misha Ketchell, the editor of The Conversation, an independent online paper.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.